Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, horrible weekend. We've talked about it. Come on in if you want to talk about it as well. It doesn't get much worse. Let's talk a little Texans football because this was just a terrible, terrible weekend. In your opinion, what are the three biggest needs come draft day? Day two.
Defensive tackle, wide receiver, and personally, I think safety.
Not corner?
Safety or corner. I mean, yeah. Both.
Yeah.
I think those are the four positions that need to be addressed, either from a depth standpoint or a starter standpoint.
Agreed.
And no. I haven't even got, I just feel like running back's going to get fixed. Running back will get more depth. It ain't going to matter.
Yeah. No, I think you could pick anybody up, right? I think you could pick a guy up. I think those three are, I agree. Those are the three biggest needs. If in fact, I mean, who's, okay, so we talked about a little bit of, if Keon Coleman you would be cool with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there any chance Wilson is there?
Roman Wilson, yes.
Yeah. Would you Roman rather Wilson. Have Keon or Roman?
Man, I like that speed for Roman Wilson. I like that speed. I mean, boy, you got now Nico can roll too once he gets down the field. And you got Tank who can separate. I just think you got a lot of guys who are going to be hard to cover because of the way they run. Coleman is two totally different guys. Coleman doesn't run great. He's a big ball winner, but it works in this offense because you would have a possession guy and Nico can do possession or Nico could work level two and level three. Keon Coleman to me would work level one and level two. So inside of 10 yards and inside of 20 yards or level one and level two. So Keon would work, but Roman Wilson's just different because Roman can play from the slot. Roman can play from outside. He's not the biggest guy, but he has 4.3 speed.
He's thicker, a little thicker, though.
Than Tank, Roman Wilson?
Yeah, yes.
He's not big, though.
No, he's not big. No,
when you say thick, like...
Well, I mean, he appears to be better, like, more durably built than Tank.
Yeah, no one's really less durably built than Tank other than Xavier Worthy.
Well, that's
It doesn't
true.
Really exist. I mean, Roman Wilson's 187 pounds. That's it. It's not big.
No.
He's light, but Tank is on a different level tiny.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Tank is super small. Xavier Worthy is, he's super thin. Xavier Worthy's super thin, too. And then it's like everyone else in football. So, we'll see. So, Roman Wilson, I mean, you'd have to be okay with he's 5'10 and a half, 187 pounds. Man, that's small for a second receiver.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, you got two small guys. You got two guys that are, but he just looks like he's tough. I mean,
I don't think they would draft him at 42. They might consider Keon Coleman there. I don't know that I'd draft wide receiver at 42 personally. I think I would rather look at defensive tackle or safety. There's a chance.
Yeah, but what defensive tackle is going to be there?
Well, Tavondre Sweat could, but he's not really the body type that he looks for. When I say he, D'Amico hasn't typically looked for those body types. If you look at the guys he signed or the guys he's been with and that he's had success with when he was a defensive coach, there's a bunch of guys that are, you know, well built. Darius Robinson will probably have to be off the board. Jerzon Newton could still be on the board from Illinois. Braden Fisk is a guy that fits the mold. Now he's not a big, he's 295 pounds. Like that's a guy who gets after it, but you're not a big run stopping unit if you draft Braden Fisk from Florida State.
That's Chris the kind Jenkins, of motor though that I think
love the motor. I think he loves the
yes,
motor.
Yes.
But you know, Chris Jenkins, another guy that might be there with your second pick of the second round from Michigan, but he's 293 pounds. Like, that's another one who's not. You're already undersized. Fabian Lovett is a guy that I keep coming back to in the fourth round from Florida State. I'd love safety. Tyler Newbin at pick 42. I think he'd be a really good addition to. I think he'd be a really good addition to the Texans. So we'll see. I don't know. It's tough. I mean, it's really tough looking at this. There's still a chance that the Texans could trade back into. Could still trade back in. You know, depending on how the board fell, there's a chance that they could trade back in. Cornerback would have been. I had them trading up for Quinyon Mitchell, but they may take cornerback at some point. I just don't know if they're going to sit at 42.
What would Trader it take Nick to move it up 10, 12 spots?
It would cost you probably another second.
Yeah, I don't know you want to do that.
No, but you could go from 42 to like pick 36 maybe. That ain't going to cost you an arm and a leg.
Well, that's not the first round.
It's not trading back into the first round.
Right.
But it's regrouping after round one, looking at how your board looks and then making decisions. Because there's a lot of trades, like a lot of teams, they reset their board after the first round, and then there's tremendous value in having the first two picks of the second round because teams will trade up for those spots. So if a quarterback's there, you know, it could be a Bo Nix spot, could be a Michael Penix spot, could be a wide receiver spot. You know, if there's an offensive tackle that slips out of the first round, like Amarius Mims because of injury, it could be the first pick of the second round. So I don't know. This is not a super clean draft for the Texans. What they need, I mean, Tyler Newbin to me fits. He's a Minnesota safety. He might be the cleanest fit at 42 in terms of value, position of need, physical traits, ball production. He's got a lot of all that stuff going on, and that might be the best value pick at 42. I mean, God, if Tavondre Sweat, if you knew he could keep his weight down, how big would that be? But he was at his pro day, he was 365, so his weight was basically the same from combine, which is, you know, fine. He probably needs to be playing at about 345, 350. So he's heavy. Your concern is that there are rumors that he played in the high 370s at Texas and then got into the 380s and 390s, low 390s during training. But boy, if you could keep his weight down, can you imagine having him jam up the middle? Like, that'd be amazing.
That's not a D'Amico kind of way to go about it, though.
No, I don't think. No. Not with what he's had or usually. And his defensive tackles have not been 340-pound guys. But, you know, who knows? Maybe D'Amico says, we'll work with him. We'll get our nutritional staff with him. We'll stay on him. If you believe he loves football enough to make it a priority and has the mental toughness to make his weight a priority, he would be almost a dream come true for me. If you knew that his weight wasn't going to get to, you know, 390, 400. Because when you have more time on your hands, you have less discipline, you have more money, more access, that's what truly can sink players who don't have discipline. And any discipline could be women, alcohol, gamble. I don't know. It could be any vice that you may have. If you're lazy, you have money, you have guaranteed money, you may stop working. But, man, can you imagine Tavondre Sweat in the middle stopping the run? And then you have the atomic dogs running off the edge for you. As
Hunter
pass
and
rushers.
Anderson. And,
oh. And then you have
Autry.
And, yeah, I mean, golly, that'd be great. I'm hoping that Tavondre Sweat's on the board. I just don't know if they really believe him. You know, there's also rumors about him. I don't know that he was the most committed during the process of preparing for the draft. There's some stories out there I didn't love. And there's other guys, Rukohoro. I don't know. Maybe just don't get too caught up in defensive tackle in the first two rounds, in round two and round three. Maybe that's going to end up being the case. Jordan Jefferson out of LSU, I love that guy. He's a powerhouse. He's good against the run. That's a guy you can get probably in the fifth. Like, he's 316 pounds, 6'2". He's very, very strong. Like, I'd like him too. But I think you have to get a safety and you have to get another
I think you need
corner.
Another playmaker. You've done a lot defensively this offseason.
Yeah.
You need another playmaker for
Yeah,
CJ.
You do. And round two is probably where you get that. Javon Baker, who's coming in for a top 30 visit, is one of those guys I would look for. Let me tell you who we've got so far for Texans' top 30 visits. These are 30 guys that they can bring in and do personal interviews with them, work out. I think they can work them out. They can do medicals with them. Here's who is on their top 30 list so far. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker from Texas A&M. Javon Baker, wide receiver, Central Florida, started off at Alabama. Travis Glover, offensive tackle, who I think could be a guard. He's a day three pick, and I kind of like Travis Glover. Michael Hall's really intriguing because Michael Hall's the most devastating interior pass rusher in the whole draft, but he's only like 285. And so I don't know how he fits into this whole thing. Let's see, another top 30, Jamal Hill, undersized linebacker that can really run. Adisa Isaac, pass rusher off the edge. Muhammad Kamara, power rusher off the edge. And then, that's interesting, two pass rushers. Kingsley Suamataya from BYU, overrated tackle, is top 30. So it's interesting because they have two offensive linemen they're bringing, a wide receiver. They're bringing two edge rushers, a linebacker, and an undersized pass rusher along the interior. Kind of interesting so far who's on their top 30 visit list.
912 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Should we get him in here?
Might as well just get it over.
Let's get Gilbert in here, see what his thoughts are from the weekend. Gilbert, what'd you think of the Astros this weekend? Gilbert, are you there? Gilbert.
Nope. Had him on hold too long.
Is he muted, Tell? You got him up? I don't hear him snoring. Let's hear. Bring him up. He's not snoring. Gilbert, you got to unmute your phone.
He does not have a phone.
Yeah, there he is. I told you.
Whoa.
Hey, Gilbert, what's going on?
What's going on there, Gilbert?
I told you because we weren't going to make it all the way.
As Gilbert told us, so, remember?
You were right.
He told us that this wasn't the Cougars' year. He tried to tell you, Johnny, you wouldn't listen to him.
Yep. No. This wasn't. You were right, Gilbert. You knew. Did you know that Jamal Shedd was going to get hurt like that?
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen anyway. You know,
you knew that was going to happen.
I knew the Yankees were going to win. I'm thinking the Yankees win the World Series. You know.
You think the Yankees are going to the World? You know they're undefeated right now, right?
What'd you say?
They're undefeated.
They're undefeated. They're 4-0.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah.
You're not telling him anything he doesn't know.
Thank you. Anyway, you know.
What's
hey, Lance, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, what about that Colleen? Hello, Colleen Wolf. Yes?
So she's not talking to anybody right now. She had some issues. Did you hear about this, John?
No.
New York Jets?
What happened?
Yeah, so Colleen, I can't get a hold of Colleen right now. She's laying very, very low right now, Gilbert.
Okay, she's real busy, right?
Well, yeah, in a way.
What happened?
She's very busy. I'll tell you when we get off with Gilbert.
Okay.
I'll tell you on the other side.
So I suspect
Astros to lose three more games anyway.
In a row?
The Astros are going to lose three more games?
Like for the rest of the year in a row. Wait, you think they're going to get swept?
Up in Arlington, okay?
Wait, you think they're going to get swept by Toronto?
No, they can't beat Toronto anyway.
They can't beat them?
Not the good manager anyway, you know.
See, he's got problems with Espada.
Yeah. He also said they're going to lose three out of four in Arlington, or three in Arlington, too, in that jumble of words.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, my 10-10 prediction... Or hope. My 10-10 hope is looking really bleak right now.
How many more home games before they get on the road?
Well, they got three more here.
Oh. Wow.
And I think it's 10-10 home and away. Or in that, it's close. So, I got to count them up.
So
but their first 20 games are a difficult road. Well, Kansas City's the easiest team in there.
Well, particularly because they have to play half of them at home.
Yeah. No. Listen, I think I underestimated their powers of of falling apart at home. I think I really underestimated that. 10-10 is now a bit aggressive for them after 20 games. Maybe I overshot a little bit my – listen, I'm not giving up on them. This is still a really, really good team. Like, their best team ever. That's right, Dell. I said it.
You've already fired a spot and made wholesale changes.
I was pissed about John Singleton. Yeah, I'm sorry. John Singleton – I'm telling you, he's got to take his whoobie away. Yeah. Take John Singleton away so that Joe Espada doesn't have that at his disposal anymore. He's the Miles Straw of Dusty Baker.
I'm Joe Espada.
Take him out.
I'm Joe Espada. I'm like, can you get me something better than Martinez and Mashinsky? If we're talking about things to take away from me, could you have made more than one relief pitch signing?
Like Taylor Scott was awful.
Well,
this
is what they
and
gave
now
him.
We got, now, here, let's throw Taylor Scott out there every game.
They gave him one hater, which is great, but the rest is like Montero, Mashinsky, Scott, and Martinez. That's what he's got to deal with.
Yeah. Well.
And then broken Ryan Pressly.
Is he mentally broken?
I don't know.
He's been broken?
He can't close anymore. He's upset. I don't know.
I know.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. We hear you calling in. That's good. Give us a call, whatever you want to talk about. Right now, I'm talking about Chastain Ford. Today's April 1st, right?
Nope. April 2nd.
Today is...
Oh, no, today is April 1st.
April 1st. Yeah. Uh-oh. March 31st was April 1st. Uh-oh. You know what today is? Watch yourself.
Watch it.
Maybe this whole show has been April Fool's. The Astros were great this weekend. Maybe we're just trying to fool you about the Astros sucking.
Yeah, if you didn't watch.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal is... I don't know. It's still truck. They still got trucks on the lot. They still want you in there. They're still going to give you the best deal. The 2024s are here, but you still got the best deals that you could possibly find on the 2023s. You still got Bronco. I saw a couple. We drove to Austin this weekend, and I saw a few Bronco Sports on the road. That's a great vehicle, and you got a 0% financing the 2023s. They want to get them off the lot. They want you to get the best deal you possibly can. Now is the best time to buy because they have to get those 2023s off the lot, and Chastain Ford is going to do whatever. But what they're going to do is the same as always. They're not going to mark up. They're not going to add on. They're just not going to make – they're not going to make it as difficult a car buying experience as other places do where they try to get you to spend as much as you possibly can. That's not the goal of Chastain Ford. One of the first things that they'll ask you is where do your payments have to be? Because you – yeah, they don't want you choking on this thing. They want you to have the best car buying experience you possibly can, which means you'll come back because you got a great car buying experience every time at Chastain Ford. It's where I'll go. It's where I've been going, and I will continue to go because I'm part of the Chastain family, and you can too. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right. Rockets lost last night. Astros lost all weekend. Cougs lost on Friday night.
We still need to hear from Kelvin Sampson.
We do have to hear from Kelvin Sampson. Kelvin, I mean, I feel so bad. He lost 2 years ago. He lost Mark and Sasser. Last year, he lost... Who did he lose last year? Sasser? Last year, he lost Cougars' history over the last 3 years. It was Mark and Sasser in 2022. It was Sasser, Shedd, and Roberts... happened right before the tourney started.
Now, they played, but they were banged up.
Right, they were banged up, yep. And then this year, Arsenault and Tugler. Walker came back, but he was out for a lot of the year. Roberts got hurt in the tourney, actually, in the first game. And then Shedd got hurt, and he was done. I mean, it's unbelievable, the bad luck. Kelvin Sampson could have a national championship if he could stay healthy. He could have a national. If Tugler was there, Shedd was there, Arsenault was there. I mean, this team could be right there with would be in the Final Four. would be in the final. They would have beaten Duke for sure. And then we'll see what they would have done against. I mean, that defense choking North Carolina State, I'll take the Cougs if they are healthy. Here's Kelvin Sampson talking about losing Shedd.
Well, it doesn't feel like a fair fight. You know, you'd have to take maybe two of theirs to equal one of Jamal. That's how good he was. And he's a first-team All-American. You don't have another one of those. You don't have the best defensive player in the Big 12. You don't have a guy that made all the big shots at the end. I thought our kids battled. Think about it. We had the ball a couple of times to take the lead late in the game. So it's not like we lost Jamal. Okay, the game was lost. No, we still battled, but that's our identity. It's our culture. It's who we are. But we felt like we had a good enough team to get to Arizona. It was unfortunate that team wasn't able to stay together.
Yeah, they did. They had a good enough team. They just that Shedd going down was just such a deflator. And they still were battling. It was ugly ball. Holy crap. I mean, the offense is just, I guess we'll set a screen. Maybe we won't. Crier, just try to lose your man. I mean, it was, it just seemed like, holy crap, talk about stagnant.
It didn't flow at all.
Nothing.
Crier was trying to one-on-one his way. Sharp was looking for something.
Sharp was so good the game
Roberts,
before.
Yeah, it was, well, I mean, you don't have the guy who starts the offense.
Yeah. I mean, even Jamal when Shedd was out there, Sharp wasn't very good.
No, he wasn't. But Jamal Shedd, as the game goes on, who knows who gets hot? Like Shedd got hot, not Shedd, but Sharp got hot in the second game of that Baylor game that they won on the road. Sharp is the one who got them in position to withstand a big run from Baylor. Of course, Baylor, you know, ended up tying it and went.
Well, and he was awesome against A&M too.
And it was great against A&M, but you know, I just think when you have the guy who runs the whole offense, who sets everything up, who's the guy that is your North Star that you always point towards, Jamal Shedd, you know he'll get it done. Man, you take that guy off the court, and I feel so bad that Houston has been so hurt by injuries. Like, they just have the worst luck with injuries.
Yep. I would imagine, now, LJ was talking about coming back, Malik Wilson, Damian Dunn, JoJo Tugler.
So can Shedd come back?
Shedd cannot. He's done.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a COVID year?
No. He
played in 20, right? That's a COVID year.
I'm almost positive he's done.
Would you?
We know that.
He's 21 years old. I mean, are you sure he doesn't? Because is there a consideration to be made for Shedd coming back? I would say yes. I do not think he's a lottery pick by any stretch. I think what you're looking at is a guy who could make some pretty good money in NIL.
For whatever reason, everybody has said, this is it. He's done. And by the way, he went through senior day. He and Jaywan and Ryan Elvin, they're done.
Is Ryan Elvin coming back?
Yes. He is actually coming back, I think, on the coaching staff.
Yes, he is. Let me see. Career-wise, and maybe you're right, he's just played 4 years there. He came in 2021. If he wanted to enforce a COVID year, he can.
He came 21, 22?
2020, 2021. He has 4 years under his belt, and one of his years is the COVID year. If you played at all in the COVID year, you can exercise another year. If he wanted to, he could come back. Obviously, this is telling you he's not going to come back, I guess. At least
the COVID year was 1920, not 2021.
2020, 2021. 2020 was the COVID year.
1920 was the COVID year.
The COVID year, yes, but if you played in 2020, you still get... I'm pretty sure 2020 gets you one, too.
I'm not sure
you started the year under COVID.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But I think it's everything has pointed to him being he's done, and he's got to replace him. And the love for him is, I mean, that's why they have been it's been a farewell tour for pretty much for Jamal Shedd. I'm almost positive he cannot come back. Let's get Jared in.
He was asked about, wasn't he asked? And he was like, well, I'm not sure. I think he does have a year.
I'm pretty sure he does.
Getting a text from someone who believes he does.
I look at NFL, I'm like, you know how many players I look at in the draft who have played 6 years now? They've gotten 6 years of eligibility. I think he gets. I think if you were 2020, if you played at all in 2020, you get the COVID, you get the extra COVID year. But he may not take it though.
I don't know. Well, maybe he has told them and he's not. I haven't seen anything where he has said he's coming back. I haven't seen anything. No, maybe you guys might be right, but I thought for sure he was done.
I think the impression is he wasn't going to come
back.
He's
not coming back.
But he has an opportunity to, but yeah.
Let's get Jared in here on ESPN. Hey, Jared, what's going on?
Hey, Double Rock, guys. Long time no talk. I'm actually off today, so I get to actually listen to a full show. I did miss the 7 o'clock hour. Did Renegade Roy call in?
He did not. Renegade Roy did not call in.
He has
segment.
Not. No. What did they do?
Typical Arlington fan. I don't know, but typical Arlington fan, that's what they do. But most of you guys have always been great to me over the last 20 years, especially with relationship advice. You know, y'all got me my first divorce, and I don't want to go through the second. But my wife is really pissed off at me this weekend. I ruined Easter weekend. Well, the Astros ruined it. And on top of that, my high school baseball team that I coach is not doing too well. So she's like, I can't live with you with the Astros and throwing everything. And you're mad all the time because your baseball team is bad and the Astros are bad. And I've been sleeping on the couch. Should I just give the Astros up for a little bit to kind of rekindle my relationship?
Yes.
I love you right now, but I don't like you right now. I ruined Easter because I was so mad. I hate Oswaldo Cabrera and Juan Soto so much right now that she's like, I just can't be around you. And so I just wanted to get you guys advice. And, like, you've always steered me in the right direction, you know, when my ex-wife made me go get ice cream during a Rockets playoff game. She hasn't done that yet, but I'm pretty much being told that the couch is mine for the foreseeable future if I can't stop throwing things because of the Astros.
You so can't I just pillow want with your her advice. When you're on the couch. So I would say no. You're going to have to make up.
I would say.
It's a 162-game schedule. Just take a break from the Astros. You already know Bregman's not really going to do anything early on anyway.
I would say send us a picture of her.
No.
What does she look like?
No, he's married to her. He loves her. He's married to her.
He's not on the fence. He needs our advice here.
No, my advice is
I can't give
the Astros up for April.
Now, when she makes you go out for ice cream during a Rockets playoff game, that's it.
You can't put up with that. For April.
She's asking you to give up the Astros? I don't know.
I'm going to have to see a picture. No, he's asking if he should.
Well, you can over the next couple nights because they don't win at home anyway. So you should devote a lot of your time to her and see if that smooth things over.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to enjoy the next couple
you've
nights
got
of Astros
62.
Baseball.
Yeah, actually, he's right. You got 3 days to figure it out.
It takes forever. Don't worry.
The thing is, I love watching the games, but I'm so passionate and I throw things and get mad. And she's like I literally went to her family's house yesterday and they didn't have Space City Sportsnet. So I'm falling on my phone. She's like, we did just get off your phone. And I'm like, no, I tried. They did this 3-3. I want to see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then of course they lose. And so I was in a bad mood all of yesterday. But I know that you guys give like the best advice and, y'all have always helped me through hard times over the last, you know, 20 years. So I just like, who do I need to call this morning? I got up this morning, and then I hear Gilbert's call, and it made me even more mad because now we're going to be 0-7. And it's like, cause everything he says is truth. And I don't know what to do, and I literally this couch is so uncomfortable.
Number one, you should have gone to
the
bathroom.
I'll hang up and listen, but I love you guys.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Jerry. You should have gone to the bathroom, check score. I mean, that's a – you got to know that. If
there.
It's 3-3, you go to the bathroom, you just take a long bathroom break. You have plausible deniability.
She can't blame you for your bubble guts.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. She wouldn't know.
No, she wouldn't know. No. And frankly, the Astros aren't going to be kind to you. Maybe you stop paying attention and maybe get the pillow with her over the next couple nights.
Yeah.
And then she realizes it's not so bad being with you. And then when the Astros go on the road, you check in, okay, they won a road game. Then you slowly drift back into your obsession, and she realizes the pillowing is so good that she would never toss you aside.
Never.
See, this is the thing. I would have been unkind and say, if you step up your pillow game, your pillowing game, maybe all this Astros obsession wouldn't bother her so much.
9:34 on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. It is possible. I just think I want to see a picture first before we make any decisions.
I just can't. He's married her. About a man's wife.
He's married her.
What are you doing? It's a wife, John.
That's not a girlfriend.
They may
it's a
have
wife.
Kids, dude. Listen. Stop.
Listen.
You can't give your horrible advice like that.
Sometimes, I got a news for you here. Sometimes smaller is better.
When? Okay. Right. When is it better?
Hold on. The mortgage, it's got to be a commercial.
The mortgage game.
Oh, okay.
In the mortgage game. That's right. If your mortgage company puts their name on a bowl game, well, chances are they've got to charge you. Chances are they're too big to give you the personalized attention that you need, okay? What I need you to do, okay, is check out Kent, my man Kent Jones from DreamRate. DreamRate Mortgage is awesome. DreamRate Mortgage is going to get you through this, not only get you through this thing, but save you money, because Kent is going to give you personalized attention that you are not going to get from those big companies. You're just not. Dude puts a limit on number of people that he is going to have his clients at one time, because he wants to give you the best attention that I'm telling you, he really geeks out on this stuff. He really does. He loves mortgages. He loves to save you money. He doesn't have the overhead that the other guys have. He is going to, he's Houston, loves Houston teams. He was pissed off this weekend too. You know what? You know why? Because he loves Houston teams, and he loves giving Houstonians the best chance when they're getting their mortgage to save on that day and through the life of the mortgage. 713-520-5626 or 713-520-LOAN, L-O-A-N, 975loans.com. You tell Kent that you're a 97.5 listener, and he is going, I'm telling you, he is going to work hardest, as hard as he possibly can, to get you the best mortgage you can possibly get. DreamRate Mortgage.
DreamRate Mortgage, LLC. NMLS number 2482473. J. Kent Jones. NMLS number 356118.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Just finishing up, is there anything? What did we miss today, though?
Did you see it's baseball, so do we care about what happened with the Mets and the Brewers where you had that alter? No bean balls, but nearly.
Oh, threw
behind his head.
Yeah, behind his head. He got tossed from the game.
You see there's a little spiking going on. Just an aggressive slide at second base that turned into a little. It was like we used to always see.
That is what we used to always see.
No, not even close. But there was like a minor. Let me get out of my bullpen and let's walk. It's like they couldn't even muster enough energy to. They're like, I get it, but that's the way it is. If you get in front of the base, they're going to come through. They're going to slide through you, so be careful.
Yeah.
What was that game?
It was Mets Brewers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Mets Brewers, yeah.
Did you see Muncy hit the home run to win the game last night for the Dodgers?
So you're keeping track of Dodgers W's?
Yeah,
and
I was keeping. I hate the Yankees and the Dodgers. I mean, the Yankees win all four against the Astros, and the Dodgers sweep the Cardinals when they had a 4-0 lead and the Cardinals couldn't hold it. How can you not hold a lead? Bullpen.
You were hate watching to make yourself feel better because of what this weekend was. You're hoping
they're not.
I was watching the Rockets. I had the Rockets on and the Dodgers game on.
What do you care about Dodgers on when they're not a?
Because I want to see them lose. Dodger Stadium was about half full on a Sunday night game. I mean, you talk about people who don't care, and they're spending all that money on that team, and they don't even show up for the games. You suck, Dodgers. You suck. Your fans suck.
They can't hear you.
I don't care. Yeah.
The people you're yelling at don't care and can't hear you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Should you call in to like ESPN 790, whatever it is in LA, and voice these opinions? Hey, I'm a ESPN 97.5 host in Houston. I just want to tell you guys suck.
Oh, the trash can keeps telling us this. You'll get a bunch of trash can stuff. Whatever, Gambletron.
Listen, I am.
Is that a Transformer character for Gambletron? For Shohei Ohtani?
Gambletron.
Degenerate in disguise.
Yeah.
Favorite player in disguise.
There's nothing else that we missed.
Lazy overs.
Oh, well, today, I mean, talk about two good games. UConn and USC and LSU against Iowa.
Yeah, you got Paige versus Juju, and then you got Caitlin versus
is
Angel.
This is real. Is this the biggest day of women's basketball ever?
A lot of star power.
I don't know, but there's star power.
Yes. Juju against...
against Paige Buchers in Connecticut.
Paige Buchers, yeah. I mean, talk about... And then Angel Reese and Caitlin?
Yeah.
This might be the biggest day in... I'm going to tell you, the ratings might be bigger than any game they've ever had.
Are you going to watch Caitlin Clark versus...
I'm going to watch it tonight.
It's Iowa versus LSU. It just feels like Caitlin versus Angel Reese.
Yeah.
Although, it's really more... LSU's team, to me, I feel like, gets a little more... I mean, they're national champs. But, man, I do not want to... I'm not going to be on social media to see this race war going on as Caitlin Clark takes on Angel Reese. Well, like, excited to see it. Like, I think this is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
And
I'm
the undercard
really
is Buchers against Watkins.
Yeah.
Right? This is a racist heaven women's college basketball.
I don't know if Connecticut versus USC holds the same type of potential for Twitter to explode depending on what happens.
That's
kind of just two good teams
you've got
playing each other.
A white star, sure, and a black star.
People are getting their favorite racist, bigoted comments ready for the other people you got to craft it all.
But you got the undercard, which is never quite going to be as vitriol. Yeah, but it does have some.
Yeah, but Juju Watkins is just, hey, a freshman leading USC.
Don Staley too.
Don Staley doesn't coach West Coast USC.
Oh no, it's USC. Yeah, yeah,
she
not
coaches
South
East
Carolina.
Coast USC.
Oh yeah, who coaches USC?
I don't know.
No one cares. No one knows. No one can possibly.
Well, the LSU Iowa game is the first game of the night.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Oh, it's the first game.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Well, USC makes
it's
well
on the West Coast. USC, UConn, but USC's the one seed, so it's on the West Coast.
Oh,
so
Lindsey Gottlieb. That's right, because she. It's just two white coaches.
I don't think you're going to find the same vitriol for USC Connecticut.
It's a good game, though.
Yes, it is.
It'll be a good game.
Juju Watkins, who can be a generational chucker at times. We talk about generational. I think she scored 28
her
points.
Her and Caitlin will get up some shots
on 28 points and 28 shots for Juju Watkins.
So I don't know that people really fully realize. Do you know? Have you ever looked at Angel Reese's stats?
She's not the best player on LSU's team.
She's not the best scorer. She is a rebounding
machine. She's a good
player.
She's a really good player.
Is Fallujah the best player?
Is it Fallujah?
I don't know. LSU's best player?
I mean, is that how you pronounce her first name?
I think so.
Because I hear Fallujah and Lay. I don't know. But, yes, she...
It's impossible to know.
I mean, we could actually watch a game and hear how they pronounce it.
It's impossible.
We'll find out tonight.
I mean, she averages... Angel Reese averages in her last, like, her last games. In a tournament so far, she's had... 16 and 11, 20 and 11, 10 and 19. Then going to the SEC tournament, she had 15 and 13, 21 and 17, 18 and 11. The last time she didn't have double-digit rebounds was January 25th.
She is a force down there.
Golly,
she was playing against those Giants from UCLA. They got some big girls there.
It's no surprise that.
Who are you for?
Who am I? I'm rooting for Caitlin. I want Caitlin in the final.
Divided.
So here we go, Mr. LSU for everything.
Yeah.
Lives in an LSU house. His wife went to LSU.
Does Wendy know?
He claims he.
Yeah, I told her last night.
And what did she say?
She said, "No, we're not." And I said, "Yeah, I'm rooting for Caitlin. I want Caitlin." I just think that's must see TV. Caitlin Clark is the biggest thing that's happened to women's college basketball ever. So I just I think that she
I would take
the, I think it loses a lot of luster without her in the tournament.
Yeah, it does.
LSU's a lightning rod though. If they make another run to the title, people will be paying
South Carolina. We've already seen
People are going to follow them.
They ain't beating South Carolina
either. Well people want to see that too.
Everyone's going to tune in to see it.
People want to see that too.
Like or hate. I mean, they'll be galvanizing because there'll be a bunch of people that hate LSU or like them. They'll be tuning in to see them lose. Oh no, they make no mistake. Trust. Whoever gets out of this one. Is going to be a...
There is a certain segment of the population who wants Caitlin Clark to win, but trust, if LSU makes it to another title game, the ratings people are going to love it, too.
Yeah, because you have...
Bigger would be Iowa getting there, though. Bigger.
Black Twitter is going to go crazy for LSU. White Twitter, if there is such a thing as white Twitter, certainly Caitlin Twitter is going to be whoever LSU is playing against is their favorite team.
Yeah.
It's so sad that you can't even, like... And hopefully those two, I think you'll see them have a moment because recently Angel Reese had really flattering things to say about Caitlin Clark. I think they will try to make it a lovey-dovey thing before the game and after the game, which will be good. But I like LSU. I don't know who's favored, but I think LSU's winning.
Angel Reese talked about her relationship with Caitlin Clark. She said, I don't dislike her. We're not enemies. Here she is. She goes, just but on the court, it's a different story because we're competitors. So
me and Caitlin Clark don't hate each other. Like, I want everybody to understand that it's just a super competitive game. And, like, I just wish people realize that. Like, once I get between those lines, it's no friends. I have plenty of friends on the court that I talk to outside of the game. But, like, when I get between those lines, like, we're not friends. We're not buddies. I'm going to talk trash to you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get in your head the whole entire game. But after the game, we can kick it. Like, I don't think people really realize that. And that's fine. I'll take the villain role. I'll take the hit for it. But I know we're going women's basketball. And if this is the way we're going to do it, then this is the way we're going to do it. You like it or you don't.
Now, gotcha. I will say she was not exactly, after the game was over last year, she was not complimentary.
She handled it poorly. Very poorly.
Well, I'm talking about in the press conference and even on interviews afterwards. She was not all of a sudden, we're off the court now and I have a lot of respect. She had negative things to say. But I think probably her perspective has changed. Remember, she had some issues early in the season with Kim McCulkey.
Yeah.
But I don't think we'll see. I think it'll be, sure, the race war that will go on Twitter will be one thing. But I think it's going to be a really good game to watch. But I just think LSU's too deep.
This is good. It's going to be fun tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. More women's college basketball on the show. That's what we need. Allies.
Yep.
Always been told
I was, yep.
And the show's divided by racial lines.
Yeah.
John will be rooting for Iowa.
Well, I will. I want Caitlin, Clark.
Despite his love.
I'm right in the middle of these two.
He's got LSU family. He loves LSU except for this because
how Angel handled it, if you want to know.
Is Iowa close to Illinois?
Is what?
Is Iowa close to Illinois?
Yeah.
It's a Midwestern thing for you, too.
Not really.
Yeah.
I wanted Illinois because I had them in a pool, and they sucked. They have 30 straight points. You sucked, Illinois. Midwestern. But I think LSU wins tonight, by the way. I think LSU wins. But
I do, too.
I think it's best for college basketball if Caitlin advances. Right now, I think it's best for you if you go to 975prostate.com. If you have, bottom of your legs, they're falling asleep. You've got pain around your ankles, your calves. I do. I talked to Doc Manavis last week, as a matter of fact, and she's going to look at my veins. And it's such a simple, easy process. As opposed to not that blood flow not getting to your feet could be a big deal for you. She likes to get people in there under 50 years old. But if you're somebody that you're waking up every morning and your legs they're hurting at the bottom, they're falling asleep, then she is here for you. She's got a process with the veins that is fantastic. She's got a process if you have a knee problem, a knee issue, and it is inflamed, or if it's not structural damage, she can help you. And it's simple, and it's so much better than surgery. And of course, the prostate thing, it's the best way to go about if you have an enlarged prostate. But it's not just prostates; it's veins, it's knees, and she has so many other stuff that she can offer as well. You have any issues like this? There's one place to go: 975prostate.com. That's 975prostate.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Oh, apparently Italy's having a real problem. Apparently there's a lot of there are a lot of souvenirs focusing on Michelangelo's David genitals. Just on the genitals. Do you want a souvenir from Florence that's just David's genitals? Is that something you want?
No.
Okay, I'm just asking whether if that's something you want or not. Do you want to go to China right now? Because apparently there is a real outbreak of super gonorrhea going on.
Super gonorrhea?
Super.
Why is it super gonorrhea?
I have no idea why it's super gonorrhea.
Well,
but China has a big problem. As a matter of fact, there's a giant gonorrhea alert out there. Watch yourself. Are you going to China anytime soon, Dale?
Wasn't planning on it.
You weren't?
I hope you don't get caught up with that gonorrhea they have.
Yeah, not regular gonorrhea.
Super.
It's there's a super, super strong strain, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does it give you powers? What is it? What do you mean?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know. A Malaysia convenience store, their owners are in trouble. They are charged over having Allah socks that are angering Muslims. Do you want a pair of Allah socks?
Wait. People are mad about it?
Well, yeah, you're Muslims really are mad about selling Allah socks.
Yeah. They're pretty serious about the whole Allah being thing. used.
Would you wear socks that had Jesus on them?
I could see that.
Jesus socks?
Yeah. I could see Jesus socks being worn. Yeah. That's not really one that's going to
get
about, people too
even
fired
if
up.
It's cool Jesus who does like, who's got his finger guns pointed at you?
It's still Jesus.
Yeah, that kind of Jesus?
Yeah. Finger gun Jesus.
It's still Jesus. Yeah, that'd be cool.
What about?
I mean, it's reminding people about Jesus. That's fine.
What about if it was like my mom's T-shirt? It was black Jesus with dreads. Would you wear those on socks?
John's not wearing black Jesus.
I went to a black church yesterday.
Did they have Jesus was a black man?
Jesus was a black man on the cross.
I bet.
Yeah, he was.
And then
the pictures behind.
Did you say anything like, "Hey, that's not what they look like. They look like white Jesus."
No.
It's on the TV shows.
No, but it was interesting.
Yeah,
How did you not lead with this?
Yeah, you didn't
How
tell
did
us
you
this.
Not
What's
lead
wrong
with
you?
What a sucker-ass move
What's
that
wrong?
Is. We're done. We don't have anything else.
You want to lead with an awful sports weekend when you went to a black church
you
and
there black,
black
Jesus
everywhere? Yeah.
You tell us this at 9:57?
There was a lot more singing than usual.
Than you're used to.
Well,
of course.
A lot more.
Clapping and singing.
Interactive. It's much more interactive.
I can't believe he waited until 9:56 for this.
Well, we didn't get to the Allah story till now.
What are we doing?
Sing to the Lord.
It wasn't Gregorian at all.
No, it was not.
Glory be.
I can't believe him.
I know.
Yeah.
This is the first that we're leading with this tomorrow.
Yeah.
John to the black church is 9:57. He said, "What did you learn this weekend? You didn't even have black church stuff."
I should have been my no.
I don't understand how.
But
this
I
happened.
Didn't learn that. I kind of thought that's how it was going to be, and it was.
You thought you expected black Jesus pictures everywhere?
No, I probably not.
Come
probably
on,
not.
John.
I didn't know.
We gotta go.
Yeah. we could leave with that tomorrow.
Thank you.
Good night. We're done. Mopey and Mapes next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I'm talking about Houston Safe and Law. Derek texted me yesterday, as a matter of fact, and he said, tell the people, Final Four, there's only four teams left. Can you pick the winner? Because if you can pick the winner, all right, you pick the winner and buy a new safe from Houston Safe and Lock. I'm telling you, and one team has the closest game they had is 13 points. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go with that team, okay? But if you can pick the winner on Monday night, April 8th, the men's college basketball game, you're going to get 50% off that new safe that you buy between now and Friday night. Okay? You go to Houston Safe and Lock, 975safe.com, 975safe.com, or stop by one of its locations, King Safe and Lock, which is at Wirt 910, or Houston Safe and Lock, same company, at Westheimer and the Beltway, and you buy a new safe, pick the winner of that game on Monday night, and 50%, you're going to get 50% of your money back. How about that? How about that? So if you're in the market for a safe, now is the best time to ever, ever, ever go to Houston Safe and Lock, 975safe.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Bye, bitch.